The following program is sponsored by Friends of Life Outreach International.
I don't know that I'll ever have a more important week. I pray you hear everything that God wants you to hear. We're facing a tremendous crisis right now, but there is something that is to be revealed in the invisible realm of the spirit through what's happening in the physical, visible realm in this coronavirus. The fact that it's primarily attacking the older, the elders. The enemy, Satan himself, the deceiver, the destroyer of everything pertaining to life and godliness, the very kingdom purpose of God. You must understand that Satan's furious, fierce, focused assault is not simply against any one of us as an individual, but the kingdom purpose of God in Betty's life, James's life, your life. Sheila Walsh and Randy are both here with us today, too. Every one of us, not just these people you see, or the people you see maybe representing God in a leadership position, that they're chosen vessels. Every one of us are uniquely designed members of the body of Christ. And God wants to accomplish His kingdom purpose through your life as an individual, but also as you fit rightly into the body of Christ, connected to one another, supplying one another's needs, submitted to the one head, not a sectarian denominational head, not a partisan head, the Godhead, the will of God. So, God tells us that the God of this world has blinded the eyes of the unbelieving. There are people, God said, in His own family. Isaiah said, "Who is so blind as my own people? Who is so deaf as my own people? My own servants." Even today, people sit in churches and religious gatherings that are totally blind to the truth and Spirit of God. I'm trying to help open the eyes of those who've been blinded and those that God has given eyes to see and ears to hear. And by the way, those who are what I call kind of a holy gathering, a holy remnant of people who can still see and hear in the realm of the Spirit happen to be the elder, the older. I'm telling you, don't get upset with that, because the younger people are hearing just unbelievably. Sheila Walsh just said to us before we came on, "I'm seeing these young people wake up like never before." I am too. Of course, the media will never let you see that. Most of the religious world won't. But the point is, many of you who are older and you feel like, "Well, I've lived my life and I'm just kind of now set aside." Not so. You are the very ones that could be considered that remnant, what God called a holy stump, that literally brings everything back to life, the ones that will come and reason together at the table of the Lord and let Him begin to flow His life, love, power, truth, and Spirit through. And you have the resources to take the gospel to the ends of the earth and to pour out His love, not just in word, but in deed. He's given you that, and you ought to be more excited to be alive now than at any time in history. Sheila, when I was talking yesterday about this assault and about this virus, and pointing to the fact that if you look at it attacking more than any time we've ever noticed in our lifetime, and we've been here a while, that it's focused in on these people who are so vulnerable, and since there's no cure, they're saying the respirators are necessary, and my medical doctors and now our national leaders are even saying that there are limited number of respirators, so you're going to be choosing who lives and who dies. This is a very heavy moment. And I tell you what, it ought to shock us to our spiritual senses to start praying for a miracle. Can you see the parallel that as I was praying and talking to God, that He actually just said to me, "You can see what's going on in the invisible realm. This is the enemy's intent, and this is how he's working." Does that make sense?
It does, James. I do see that. But what I also see is I don't think there's been a better time to show what it looks like to be the body of Christ.
I agree with that. Mm-hmm.
Because there's so many people who are afraid, and we understand that. But fear is not of God. Perfect love casts out fear. That I think this is a time when we as the church, as Peter talked about, 1 Peter, always be ready to give a reason for the hope that is within you. And so that's really my prayer in these days, that we will be those that are so alive, so full of the Spirit, and that we'll see other people. I think that's one of the things you talked about in those who are perhaps more senior and perhaps think, you know, my days are done. I remember interviewing Billy Graham on his 70th birthday and asking him, do you ever think of retiring? And he said, I don't see anything in Scripture, no scriptural precedent for retirement.
I agree.
You know, until the day you take your last breath, we're on mission 24/7.
Randy, what do you hear God say when you look at this? You've got four children, and got two of them still in college right now. They've been basically kind of sent out of college.
Yeah.
What's going on in your mind as a father and as you just look and see right now what's going on?
Well, you know, Sheila mentioned the spirit of fear, and Second Timothy 1 tells us that God does not give us a spirit of fear, but that's an incomplete statement. That part's true, 100% true, but it goes on. He says, but of love, power, and sound mind. And when you look at that, the power, the word dunamis there, is the same kind of power that witnesses miracles. It's a miracle kind of power. So I look at it and I go, okay, God's got it. He's under control. Whatever's thrown against us, we've got the ultimate power to deal with it. And then you look at love, that's agape in the Greek. And that's the kind of love that cares for our neighbors. That well intention for our fellow man. And just as Sheila said, I'm looking at it going, wow, this is an opportunity. Forget the fear. We got that. As Christians, we don't have fear. But what do we have? Well, we go out and we care for our fellow man. I know my church did online only and shut down everything except for one thing, our food pantry. Because we had people in the community that are relying on us for food. And I went, that's it. I feel like my pastor's hearing God on that one. It's like, we're going to do what we can. Because the third thing there is sound mind, or in some translations, discipline. And if you actually look at the Greek, it also says moderation. That word, which is only used once in the Bible, is the exact opposite of panic. Right?
Exact opposite.
Christians should be the least panicked people now, because we also heed the words of Christ that says, do not fear that which can kill the body, but can't kill the soul. Mm-hmm. So, okay, where are we? We've got unknown. It changes every day. Mm-hmm. What we say today may not be necessarily the case tomorrow or next week. So what do we know? Well, we know one thing works. There's only one true formula. Everybody's trying to figure out what to do. One thing scripturally that works. Know the voice of God and obey. Mm-hmm. Because we can't just come in with a formulaic, do this, don't do that. I mean, there's guidelines, yes. But as far as the Christian goes, when you look at it from a broader perspective, we don't know what's going on entirely, but we know the one who does know what's going on entirely. So I look back at Christ and I go, okay, there's a couple things in Scripture that stand out to me when he dealt with his disciples. Early, he said to them, early in the ministry part, he sent them out and he said, go heal the sick. Go cleanse the leper. There was no cure for leprosy. They weren't doctors. They couldn't just do this. But they had that power that I talked about to do these things. Okay. So no fear. Go out. Or go right in the middle of the sickness. And yet later, when he's on the Mount of Olives, he says, when you see these certain signs in the world, troubling signs, flee Judea and go to the hills. And that's what a lot of the Christians did when the Roman army surrounded Jerusalem and destroyed it, and the Christians survived. Okay, so there's not necessarily a formula. Sometimes we may need to walk in the middle of the sickness in God's power because we've heard his voice. Other times we need to head for the hills. We may need to quarantine. So I really think it's important for us to know that amidst the uncertainty, we have the certainty that we can hear the voice of God, and we just need to obey.
Sheila, how do you track after what Randy just said?
Well, I absolutely, to me, obedience is better than sacrifice. Mm-hmm. You know, people are like, you know, what can I do? What can I give up? Yeah. Obedience is better than sacrifice. And I love the fact that here's what I think. Our viewers are amazing. I mean, they care. Every single thing we put before them, they care about. Yep. But could you imagine what would happen in our nation if every believer, whether they were 10 years old or 98, if you've still got a pulse, if there's not a white chalk mark around your body, you know, we have a job to do. That if we all began to think, you know, in this time of where the world is panicking, which is not of the Lord, we can be those who exhibit the peace of Christ. Mm-hmm. You know, I read this thing by C.S. Lewis. I wrote it down. There is no neutral ground in the universe. Every square inch, every split second is claimed by God and counterclaimed by Satan. God is in control. God is good. God is sovereign. But it's time for us to live like we believe that.
Absolutely.
That's right. And with confidence.
Yes.
But yet, walking in that love, and it's not something you put on physically, just like, I'm going to make myself smile or I'm going to pretend I'm at peace, you know. It has to come from within. Mm-hmm. I mean, not long ago, I was in the grocery store, and this young man walked up to me, and he said, I bet you know Jesus, don't you? He said, I can tell it all over your face.
I love that, Betty.
And I thought, I wasn't expecting that, you know, but wherever we go, if it's in us, we need to let it come
out.
And it should be apparent. People are looking for peace right now.
They're
looking for somebody that knows the right thing to say or to do, or just to put, you know, they say don't put arms around each other, but we can do it in our hearts.
Yeah,
and they can sense that. We can know that. So just the peace of God is so important, and an opportunity for us as Christians, and that's you too watching today. You know God's in your heart. Let Him out.
Yeah.
Let Him out through peace and love and joy and confidence that we're going to get through this, and God's going to be right there in the midst of it. He is in the midst of it.
You know, I don't think there's anyone watching that's not sick and tired of all the feuding and the disunity and all the harassing and criticism, all the division and dissension. Jesus didn't pray amiss when He prayed for us to have a supernatural unity that would amaze the world. And that because of that supernatural unity, we would in fact know that the whole world would know that the believers are actually His body, His family. Do you know that pressure oftentimes presses us? You know, Sheila, great pressure pushes people together.
Mm-hmm.
We're facing enormous pressure. I have believed this many times. If it took indescribable catastrophic circumstances to knock us on our knees because we don't get on our knees, it's going to happen. The Church of the Living God is going to have to understand the importance of prayer, but also unity. And I've been saying to our viewers, and you've seen it right here, you've seen preachers and different groups from different, let's say, denominational positions come in here and share the love of God in a way that all you could see is Jesus. You're watching a miracle. I think that what's happening can bring us together in even a greater supernatural unity. And I believe we're seeing that happen. It must happen. I think it needs to happen in the national realm, in the political realm. We're going to have to lay aside our partisan preferences and say, how about we just sit down together at the table of reason and let God show us how we can actually face this giant and take it on. One of the things that I pointed out, even as I was sharing yesterday, is it's not death to our body the enemy's really after. It's death to the kingdom purpose of God in our lives the enemy's trying to destroy. And so as Christians, if we will say, God's going to accomplish His will through this yielded life, I'm going to put this lump of clay in the hands of the master potter. He says He works all things together for good. He didn't say they're all good. He said, I'll work them for good to those who love Me and who know they're called according to what? My kingdom purpose. In that same passage, Randy and Sheila, He says that He is shaping us to be conformed to the image of Christ. That means all of us becoming an expression of the life of Jesus individually, but also in supernatural unity as a body of Christ. That's what I think God wants to see happen right now. I think we're going to see it happen.
Yeah, you know, there's all sorts of examples in Scripture where God's people were under attack. In fact, Sheila's got a great example I wanted to read out of the book of Psalms, because we saw David was constantly under attack, not just from, you know, bacteria or viruses, but from people who wanted to kill him. So he had the spiritual and the physical coming at him at all times, and yet he didn't fear. He had a supernatural peace that only God can give. That's the kind of God we serve. Whatever tries to knock us down, we've got a God who picks us back up every time. Do you have that? I'd love to hear that.
This psalm has just been burned into my soul the last few days. I read it every day when I get up. I love it. Psalm 121. I look up to the mountains. Does my help come from there? My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. He will not let you stumble. The one who watches over you will not slumber. Indeed, he who watches over Israel never slumbers or sleeps. But this verse here, Psalm 121, verse 5, the Lord Himself watches over you. The Lord stands beside you as your protective shade.
Amen.
I mean, what
a kingdom gift. I mean, that's the inheritance of all who love the Lord.
I want to give everybody watching a real, let's say, just a shot of absolute hope. Now, think about this. Jesus gave us a model to teach us to pray. We talk about the glory of our Heavenly Father, our Holy God. But then He said, "Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." Now, I want you to pause right there. Was that a wasted sentence in a little form of prayer? Or was it the desire of God's heart to happen? Is it possible? Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Do in us and through us the way You see us, the way You created us and You designed us. See us here and do through us here what You have designed for us forever. Your will can be done on earth just as it is in heaven. If God just wanted to show us glory, Sheila, Randy, He could just appear in glory. He has chosen to reveal His glory to a world in darkness through His body of believers who move together like the family of the perfect Father. And you know, we talk about the importance of loving God and loving your neighbor. You know what I've realized? It seems to be tougher to love the other members of the body of Christ than your neighbor. It's almost that way in your relationships, in your own family. The enemy wants to keep us apart from the people most vitally important in our life. And he certainly wants to keep us separated from other members of the body. One of the greatest joys of my life, and I know, Sheila, you've been all over the world with many ministries for a long time. You've seen a lot. Randy, you've lived in the ministry atmosphere. You went to Oral Roberts University. You've seen everything religious. Can some of it turn your stomach? But you have also seen, you have seen the glory of God bringing people together that you never thought would come together. Is that an exaggeration or is that the truth?
I mean, that's... And what I love is when it's a situation where you say, only God could have done this. Mm-hmm. That's when you just marvel. And that's what this world is longing to see. Not a new church building or a new worship album, but a group of people who love one another because they realize that we all stand in need of the grace and mercy of God. When we all get to heaven, every one of us is going to think, oh, I was wrong about that. You know, things
sure.
that we think, I would stake my life on that. I would stake my life on the love of God, on the sacrifice, on the death and resurrection of Christ. After that, all I get really is let's love one another and let the world see that we are one.
Yeah. At best, we see through a glass dimly, darkly. We'll only see in the final kingdom clearly. We are still arguing about theological points that have not been settled in 200 or 2,000 years. Why don't we put our clubs down and just kneel in the presence of God and say, God, do a holy healing in our relationships, first with You and with one another, with all the neighbors we're to love, but also with the other members of Your body, and bring us together in supernatural unity. I believe that's what God wants to happen right now. As I talked to my pastor, Robert Morris, and other great pastors, one of them in Birmingham, they said, we've just set up these checkpoints to test people right on our parking lot. And I heard Robert say, you know, James, our church is going to keep restaurants open if we can, if they're just fixing food for people who don't have it, and our church is delivering it to people that need it. Robert says, our church is going to find every way that we can be the arms and hands of Jesus. Well, that isn't just Gateway Church. That isn't just Chris Hodges Church in Birmingham and many other great pastors I know. It's every believer coming together can in some way get the arms of God's love reaching out to people in need and meet those needs, and also let the peace of God prevail in our lives to the point that it literally brings comfort to people around us. Father, I pray for everyone watching and listening today that they will yield their life to You like yielded soil, fertile soil, to receive the seeds of Your truth that will transform them into the most beautiful, fruitful garden, blessing and benefiting everyone with need. And Lord, I pray that every one of them will become a vessel through which You can flow freely Your love and Your truth. And they will become together Your hands, putting Your arms of love around the broken and those in need, spiritually and even literally when needed. You give us wisdom to be safe, to be secure, to never be foolish, but to be moved in wisdom by wisdom and to be carried by your love to express that love to those in need. In Jesus' name. I think most of you know, if you watch Life Today, we will always show you a need that love can meet. But God pours and expresses that love through a yielded vessel. You become the hands of love. Right now, we're seeking to rescue precious children, so many times women, from sexual trafficking. And you know what? You want to help so much that some of you said, we'll match the gift that others make. This is a miraculous work. We want to keep it going. So would you just be moved by what you see and what God says to you? And then would you reach out and go online or call the number, take your bank card and make the gift God puts on your heart? I think you're going to be moved by what you see, and then I think you're going to be led by the Spirit of God to express and share the love of God to meet a need that is very real, but a solution that absolutely works because love never fails.
James and Betty, this is the hardest trip that I have been on with life. We have been out in the streets at night and we've seen these little girls being forced into sex trafficking.
Human trafficking is one of the darkest evils in this world. The depravity it takes to kidnap, to sell, and to rape a child is matched only by the virtue and strength needed to oppose it. Fighting such systemic evil requires a prayerful strategy. Our teams on the ground work alongside local law enforcement to rescue girls who have been trafficked into the sex slave trade by conducting raids and arresting the criminals involved. Survivors of sex trafficking have often spent years in captivity, and their minds and personalities have been altered. To restore these girls, we provide them with shelter and offer them the hope and healing only found in Christ's love. It's been said, an ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure.
As I watched these kids today, I thought, this actually could be the most important day in their life. This could be the day that they learn what human trafficking is all about.
In another part of the world, there's a girl entirely unaware she's about to be kidnapped and sold. But if we can reach her before the predators, we'll save her from a horrific future. Reach, rescue, restore. More than words, this is a fight against hell itself.
God is moving in the darkness and saving lives. Please keep helping us. It's changing the world.
You know, I'm really believing that God's going to raise people up so moved by His love that that expression of love is going to flow like a river. Sheila, I know what a burden it is for you to see what you've witnessed in these horrible situations where so many precious children are trafficked.
You know, it's really heartbreaking. And one of the prayers I've prayed every day of my life for the last probably 30 years is this. Every morning I pray, Lord, give me eyes to see what I would miss without you, and give me ears to hear. And being on those streets in Southeast Asia, hearing the cries, some of them are literal, and some of them you just look in the eyes of these girls, and they are crying out for help. And you cannot be there and come home and not want to be the answer to those prayers. So I'm so grateful that we reach, that we go into the villages, that we rescue, that we literally bring them from the gates of hell and we restore Absolutely. To a place where Absolutely. They know who they are in Christ.
And boy, when you say we, that doesn't mean Randy and Sheila and Betty and James.
That means our people.
Yep. The we is far beyond even the missionaries. They wouldn't be there without you. So the we is all of us together. And that's what it's going to take to bring healing right now to a nation and to a world that's under attack. Demonic death attack that only the supernatural power and love of God and His transforming truth can bring about the necessary restoration that everybody needs. You are sharing that love that restoring power. Thank you so much for doing it. I'm praying we're going to see the greatest outpouring of love and response to get God's arms around these precious, trafficked little ones and women that love will set free. Thank you so much.
Behind the bright lights, there is a darkness where a world of innocence is lost and abuse runs rampant, scarring the souls of children with no one and nowhere to turn for help. With bodies broken and hopes crushed, these young victims are trapped in a never-ending nightmare. Today, you can shine the light of God's love in this dark world to reach, rescue, and restore these young ones to the life God designed for them to live. With a generous $250,000 matching gift, now your gift of $128 to help reach, rescue, or restore one child can be doubled to help two children. Your $64 gift will be matched to help save one child from the horrors of human trafficking. And a $32 mission rescue gift will be doubled to $64. With your gift, we'll send you this beautiful freedom bracelet, handcrafted by survivors of human trafficking who want to say thank you for helping those still trapped. Wear it as a wonderful reminder to pray for the outreach. With your gift of $128 or more, you'll receive the Freedom Tote. This quality canvas tote bag is made by trafficked survivors who are now learning a new trade and includes spiritual life resources such as books, devotionals, CDs, or DVDs. Finally, please consider a gift of $1,280, which will now help rescue 20 children, and you may request our beautiful new bronze sculpture, A Mother's Strength. Please call, write, or make your gift online.
What you're seeing behind me right now is some villagers who are learning how to not be lured into sex trafficking. We know for a fact that some girls have disappeared from this area and have not been heard of again. It's critical that we reach into areas like this and educate them so that they will know what to look for. So when the sex traffickers come back through this area, no more will be taken. We're doing all that we can to reach into places like this, to rescue the girls that have been taken and to restore their lives and restore their families and restore their villages. I hope you'll go to the phone right now, go online, do what you can. The Rescue Life program is making a huge impact in areas that really need the love of God. Do what you can. Thank you so much.
Well, Betty and I just want to say thank you so much for your love, your prayers, your support. And I want to say, Sheila, thank you. And Randy, thank you. You're a tremendous blessing. We love all of you. In the spiritual realm, we give you a big hug. Thank you for sharing His love.
Pull yourself away from the devil. They ask for everything. Promise to set you free. You made a vow to your mother that you'd give your life to your Father, the one who helped you see.
I'm going to try to show you what's actually happening right now with this coronavirus.
This week on Life Today. Life Today is made possible by the supporters of Life Outreach International. Your gift will be used exclusively for the exempt purposes of Life. The ministry features specific outreaches as examples of the programs it supports and conducts. Gifts are considered to be without restriction as to use unless explicitly stipulated by the donor. The ministry is a member of the ECFA.